March 19th, 2023, our fourth Sunday in Lent. Our Sunday morning service meets in person at 10 a.m. at 6th and Wall in Port Huron. Our radio broadcast is at 11 a.m. on WPHM 1380 a.m. Our service recordings are also available at www.wpham.net/podcast/Our Savior. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Stanley and Patricia Arnett in memory of Stan and Catherine Arnett. Our worship leader this day is licensed lay minister Scott Pike. My name is Jane Borntrager, and I will be assisting. Our piano accompanist today is Carol Cataldo, and we also welcome Jennifer Hudson as our voice accompanist. Our sound tech this morning is Jeremy Brown. Baptism is sometimes called enlightenment. The gospel for this Sunday is the story of the man born blind, healed by Christ. "I was blind, now I see," declares the man. In baptism, God opens our eyes to see the truth of who we are, God's beloved children. As David was anointed king of Israel, in baptism, God anoints our head with oil and calls us to bear witness to the light of Christ in our daily lives. Our gathering hymn this morning, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound."
Welcome on this fourth week of this 40-day journey we call Lent. I wanted to give you a quick report on Pastor Charlie. He was discharged from the hospital yesterday afternoon. He is at home healing. He has told me he is going particularly crazy because he has nothing to do. He's not sure about Wednesday, so please call if you're going to plan on coming to Bible study. And he is going to endeavor to be here next Sunday. I asked him to keep me in a loop on that. So our prayers are with him, and we hope he does heal quickly. Join me this morning for this morning's confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who journeys with us these 40 days and sustains us with the gift of grace. Let us acknowledge before God and one another our need for repentance and God's mercy. Join with me. Holy God, we confess to you our faults and failings. Too often we neglect and do not trust your holy word. We take for ourselves instead of giving to others. We spoil rather than steward your creation. We cause hurt through your call to us to heal. You choose fear over compassion. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us as we seek to follow in your way of life. Amen. Hear the good news. God so loved the world that God gave us his only Son, so that we may receive life. This promise is for you. God embraces you with divine mercy and forgives you in Christ's name and revives you in the Spirit's power. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Join me in this morning's prayer of the day. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And Jane will bring us our morning's readings.
Our first reading is from 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 13. Samuel anointed David even though he was the eighth oldest son of Jesse and did not match his brothers in height or other physical characteristics. With the anointing came endowment with the Spirit of the Lord, designating David as the Lord's chosen successor to Saul. Here begins the reading. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm this Sunday is Psalm 23. The antiphon, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our hymn of praise this morning, praise and thanks and adoration. Our second reading is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Because we now live in the divine light, which is Jesus Christ, we conduct our lives in ways that reflect the light of Christ so that our activity is truly pleasing to God. Here begins the reading. Once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of our Lord.
And steadfast love. This morning's gospel comes from the book of John, the 9th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now begins the gospel. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents? He was born blind." Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who has sent me while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called to Jesus, made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who's sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents, who had received it, the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" And his parents answered, "We know that's our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who had confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said to him, "He's of age, go ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I can see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered him, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you not to hear it again?" Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, He is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when they found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me so I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one who is speaking to you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do not see become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not blind, are we? And Jesus said to him, If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, We see, your sins remain. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Blindness, I think that's an affliction that probably scares me more than others. I can almost imagine being paralyzed, losing a limb, going deaf. But blindness to me seems unfathomable. The idea of being plunged into darkness, losing the ability to enjoy the beauty of the world around me, to me that's just incomprehensible. Now this is not to take anything away from those who are blind or going blind. I understand they live a rich and full lives. But for someone who's always had his sight, that loss would, to me, would just be devastating. Jesus comes to us today treating blindness head on. He meets a man who, because of his blindness, has led a life as an outcast and a beggar, relying on the assistance and charity of others to survive. Worse is the fact that due to his blindness, he is stereotyped. He's labeled and he's ostracized. The people of the day attribute the man's affliction to a sinful life of him or his parents. And due to that sin, eventual God has cast this horrible disability upon him. John tells us today that even the disciples asked the very same question in asking, Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Here are the disciples, the men that are supposedly more educated of the early followers, and they still buy into the vengeful God concept. Of course, Jesus tells them what we should already know, that God doesn't work that way. The man's blindness is not due to punishment thrust upon him due to sinfulness. We know that bad things are just as likely to happen to good godly people as to very sinful people as well. Is the affliction of God part of God's plan to use this man's blindness to further a plan? Whether his blindness was preordained for this moment, or this just happened to be the blind man found at this moment, and this lesson, we will never know. But what we do know is that God does use this man's condition to provide a lesson, or a message, if you will. Jesus, in answering the question to this man's affliction, he responds, Neither he nor his parents sinned, but it was God that chose that his works would be displayed through this particular man. In a little way, I see him like Mary, chosen by God to fulfill a particular function for his glory. Jesus prefaces his answer at the time, to do the works of God is now in the light of day. It needs to be done before it's too late. He tells us that he is the light of the world. The man's blindness is not just about his inability to see, for the blind man has no concept or ability to see light or colors. But his blindness is not just a physical blindness, but of a spiritual blindness. Today, we see spiritual blindness continually growing around us every day in this world. It seems that the world is constantly trying to oppose God's law and replace it with the law of man, plunging the world further and deeper into darkness. We know that Jesus does choose to heal this man's blindness by making mud from dirt on the ground and his spittle. An interesting question is posed here. Does this blind man have the faith in Jesus Christ? We don't really know. Like Nicodemus, we know that he at least posed enough information, he was at least seeking answers. And the Samaritan woman at the well clearly had at least some superficial faith upon meeting Christ. But we know nothing of this blind man's faith prior to this event. What we do know is that at least he was a rudimentary chained Jew, and that he refers to Jesus as rabbi. But what an incredible jump he must be making, for he allows this man to perform this healing act upon him, to put mud on his eyes, and then to follow his directions to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes. I can't imagine being a blind man, having some stranger coming up to me and putting mud on my eyes and telling me he can heal me. Obviously, once he's healed, he is a believer. Well, who wouldn't be undergoing such a miraculous change in their life? Why is this moment of healing so important now? One can theorize that Christ must have encountered other blind people in his travels. This is the time and place where Jesus is approaching the final stages of his mission on earth. And this healing provides an object lesson for those that see or hear about this healing. It is also a time of exposure. The blind man is being healed, is justifiably excited, and just as expected, he begins to tell everybody about what had happened. Now, just as we expect, some people are excited and some are skeptical. We see the man brought before the Jewish leadership, the Pharisees. These are not fun guys, not the kind you want to hang around with. They lead with an iron fist. They have little tolerance for any challenges to their authority, their faith, or their rabbinical laws. They have already demonstrated their disdain for Jesus Christ as this alleged Messiah. They have decreed that anyone confessing him as the Messiah would be banned from the synagogue. Clearly, upon hearing about this healing performed by this Jesus, this is something they immediately have to address. They certainly do not want their power or position usurped. I can only imagine their delight when it dawned on them that not only did he heal the blind man, but he did it on the Sabbath. Why is the issue of the healing on the Sabbath such a significant issue? Make no mistake, in the Jewish faith, the laws regarding the Sabbath are taken incredibly serious. To labor or break the Sabbath requirements would have been met with serious condemnation by the religious leaders as well as the community. However, in this circumstances, it seems, at least to me, the Sabbath is a convenient legalism used by those standing in judgment over Christ. Christ demonstrates that the love and care for God's children will always take precedence to the laws as defined by man. The Pharisees, if nothing, can be seen as thorough. They not only question the man who was healed once, but twice. We can clearly see the frustration of this man. It seems no matter what he tells his interrogators, they just refuse to believe what he has to say. He's judged as a sinner, a heretic for recognizing the divinity of Christ. One cannot help but wonder, what's going on in the mind of all these Pharisees that we hear about in the gospel? We do hear at least one spokesman declare they believe God has spoken to them through Moses. Even though Moses did prophesy the coming of Christ or the Messiah 1400 years earlier. But they continue to refuse to recognize the divinity of Christ. I must believe that even in the mind of the most ardent of the accusers, there's an idea or thought rolling around in their heads about the undeniable, the miraculous events that they are learning of and witnessing. They must, at the very least, find themselves in a position to have their own beliefs challenged or examined. Despite all the evidence, they continue down this path of accusation and slander of Jesus. Why? I have a couple theories as to why. First and foremost, unlike the early Jews and Christians, we have a written account of what's coming. We have the benefit of knowing what the preceding chapters hold. The early Jews and Christians are confronted with this unbelievable. Here is a man who looks, acts like every other human man they see. Now this man comes with a message that he is the Messiah, that he is the one that was prophesied about. He not only declares this, he performs almost unbelievable, miraculous events. I often wonder if Christ were to enter our world today again in human form, would we be able to recognize him, much less believe him? Now, my other theory of why the people and the leader continue on this path of questioning and outright attacks, they have a role to play in the passion of Christ. We know what is to come. We know the path for Christ is set. And these things have been foretold to us by Christ. And even as they and us don't want to believe that these things will come to pass and that our Messiah is going to suffer and die at the hands of man. Today's gospel says so much about us today. The question we get to ask ourselves, are we blind? Maybe a little blind? Maybe selectively blind? We're living in dark days. We look around ourselves. We see wars raging around the globe. New threats seem to emerge every day. People are constantly in opposition to one another. All respect and decorum has been lost, emerging into violence and hatred. We are in constant fear of natural, political, and economic threats. All these things and more can create intense blindness in us. I personally face this issue where I find myself angry or fearful. My vision becomes clouded. My outlook for the future of this world becomes unclear. Even my own faith can come into question. Sometimes I think on God, my Father, His Son, our Holy Spirit, and sometimes doubt will creep in. It's at these times the immensity of God overtakes me. Things like He has always been. There's no beginning, there's no end. The endless expanse of the universe, it can just seem to be so much more than I can possibly comprehend. And it's at these moments that I have to be the blind man and listen for Christ, and seek the healing, and seek the light of the world that He is going to reveal to me. These are the times that Jesus reassures me that I'm not seeing the whole picture, and He opens my eyes. I get to see the beauty of the world around me. I get to see the true beauty and love of the people of this world. And I am fortunate to have Jesus and His grace to lift my faith when I'm unable. I am so fortunate that I'm given the reassurance of His love, the life and never-ending relationship with my Heavenly Father now and beyond this life. Amen. This morning's hymn of the day will be, I Want to Walk as a Child in Light. spirit or body for this morning's prayers of intercessions. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation.
Eternal God, you seal us by the Holy Spirit and mark us with the cross of Christ forever in baptism. Inspire us by your love as together we strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Creating God, by your word you have made all things, and you hate nothing you have made. Teach us to perceive the beauty of the breadth of your creation, from the grandest mountain range to the smallest springtime bud. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Powerful God, you anoint kings and establish rulers. Guide the work of heads of state and elected officials. Encourage them to lead with justice and to remove barriers that impede the well-being of all. Merciful God, shepherding God, you lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. Keep watch over those who weep, tend all who are sick, and comfort those who grieve. Especially today, we remember in our prayers Tom Bachman, Donna Barnish, Deb Cook, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Sarah Mayer Flatt, Kirk Langoff, Pastor Charlie Martin, Sherry Mosierak, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Carl Rich, Douglas Weaver, Pastor Joyce, Pastor Ken, and their son Mason, and the family and friends of Jim Davison, Davidson, and Brenda Wickings, and David Hooven with their passing. We also pray for those serving to protect our nation, both at home and overseas, that they may return safely. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, our host, you fill us at your table with more than we could ever ask. Feed us with hunger for justice. Equip the feeding ministries of this congregation and community. Nourish us so that we can nourish our neighbors. Merciful God, God of history, with thanksgiving we remember our ancestors in faith who cared for your people, especially Joseph, guardian of Jesus. We praise you for the ways they formed the faith of others and continue to inspire us. Merciful God,
we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love, your promise to renew your whole creation through Christ our Savior.
You may be seated. We like to thank each and every one for your continued support to the Christian ministry of Our Savior Lutheran Church. As for announcements this day, I don't appear to have any. If anyone has one, would they like to? Okay, for those of you that may have not heard that clearly, in 2 weeks, Our Savior Lutheran will hold its congregational meeting on Sunday. Because of the, we usually do this in November, but because of circumstances, it is going to happen 2 weeks from this day. So all are welcome to attend and are encouraged. We thank you for all your offerings, and we are offering him this day, just as I am, without one plea. God of good gifts, receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as you pour out your very presence through Christ Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen.
The Lord be with you. We lift up our hearts. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty, our joy, that we should at all times and all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through your Savior, Jesus Christ, you call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one, and praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. And praise to you, your Spirit poured out from all the nations. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance for me." Again, after the supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, saying, "All to drink," saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in the remembrance of me." And with the bread and the cup, we remember the Lord's Passover from death to life, and we proclaim the mystery of his faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. And on these gifts of bread and wine, bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Raise yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up in the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones at all times and all places, within the earth and all of its creatures, with the sun, the moon, and the stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Please join with me in the joyful words given to us by Jesus Christ, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come and receive Jesus, our strength in our wilderness. We'll be taking communion continuously, starting with the right side of the congregation first, then the left. If you have a dietary need and you need a gluten-free wafer, please let me know.
Lost to me.
You have received the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through his blood and his resurrection, you've been cleansed of all sin. Embodied God, at your table, we have tasted the goodness of Jesus. With the eyes of our hearts open to your promise, empower us to hear the needs of your neighbors and touch the world with your love. Amen. God, the giver of love, Christ, the resurrection and the life, and the Holy Spirit of rebirth, bless you on this Lenten journey. Our sending hymn this morning will be, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
Peace, serve in love.
Thanks be to God.